This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Hello there. He is risen. That's the saying that we use. And il est ressuscité is what they would say in Paris. I've got friends there, so that's for their benefit. It's great to be with you again this morning. I know that at this point, the children become a little distracted. They don't particularly want to listen to me, and they want to do other things, which is what they're used to doing. So that's fine. Just chill out with that. If you want to listen to this talk, it'll be online in a couple of days, or we'll be doing a full, more expanded version of this evening at 8:30 in the study. It's great to be with you. Part of our theme for the year is Follow Me, and this series that we're in at the moment is Dealing with Trouble, and my title for today is The Empty Tomb. I'd like us to read from Matthew 28. So if you've got a Bible, if you'd like to find Matthew 28, Matthew is one of the four biographies about Jesus. So I'd like you to turn to Matthew. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the four biographies in the New Testament. And at the end of Matthew, we've got Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to read verses 1 to 11. So after the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said." That must have been an interesting encounter. "Greetings." They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee." Brothers and sisters, go to Galilee. There they will see me. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. So those friends of us in Paris sent us a newsletter this week, and John and Sue Wilson, some of you will know them, and they opened their letter by saying, "By the time you read this, we will all be celebrating Easter behind locked doors, just like the first disciples." Ha! Isn't that the truth? Never quite thought of it like that, but they're absolutely right. The disciples were behind locked doors for fear, really, and in some ways so are we. Their fear was their rabbi, their leader, their friend, their hope. They'd just been brutally beaten and executed. And their plans were in disarray, and they were in deep trouble and fear. What would you have done? The disciples retreated behind locked doors. We retreat. We hide. We put up barriers and masks. We deny and defend ourselves. And we forget Jesus' power and his love, and we begin to believe the lies of the enemy. It's too painful to face the trouble sometimes. But not all the disciples hid. Some of the women who followed Jesus risked going outside. They confronted their fears and pains. They stepped forward. They took a risk. Are you dealing with trouble? Most of us are in one way or another. I don't just mean with COVID-19, but outside in your normal life, whatever normal is. Is your business in trouble? Or is a relationship breaking down? You find you're losing your temper, or drinking too much, or cultivating an unhealthy fantasy life? Are you troubled by your sin, knowing that your life is broken? Maybe you're sick yourself, or you're mourning loss of one sort or another. What do you do when trouble comes? Do you medicate the pain? Complain? Get busy? Beat yourself up about it? Go on social media? Hide somewhere? Now, in this passage, we see that for the follower of Jesus, there are three amazing, beautiful things that happen for these women, that happen when we get into trouble. Three things. First of all, we run toward the tomb. We go to the grave, to the place of pain. It may seem futile. We may be weeping or ashamed or desperate, but however difficult the situation, we go in search of Jesus. That's the first response. And the second is, when we get to the tomb, we find it is empty, the empty tomb. The stone is rolled away, not to let Jesus out, but to let us in to see that he is resurrected from the dead. The death that is the devil's signature motif has been defeated. The light has come into the darkness, and Jesus has declared eternal life. We run towards the tomb, we find it is empty, and then thirdly, Jesus comes to us, and he breathes on us, and he says, peace be with you, don't be afraid, peace be with you. Let me just expand on that a little bit. So when we run to the tomb, how do we do that? How do we do that today? There isn't obviously a tomb to run to, but how do we go to Jesus? How do we search for him in our time of trouble? And often that means pushing through the things to which we are most resistant or not good at. At Leeds Vineyard, we've been thinking, if you're a guest, just to bring it up today, we've been thinking about this a lot in recent weeks as we've been learning how to be with Jesus. I'd love to expand on that a bit more, but we haven't got time here. If you go to our website, go to the resources page, down to the teaching series on Follow Me, which is our theme for the year. Within that, there is a page which gives lots of resources on the whole being with Jesus thing. But perhaps I could just summarize three things that will help us go looking for Jesus, running to the tomb in our times of, particularly in our times of trouble and difficulty. The first thing is to read Jesus' story. Go to the Bible. We've been trying that a lot recently. But if you find reading difficult, if you find scripture hard to understand sometimes, or it's a struggle to make the time, I want you to push through. And I want you to run to the tomb. Go searching for Jesus in the words of scripture. Another thing that we can do is to take ourselves away from the distractions of life, making regular time and space for solitude and silence and prayer and reflection and worship. Many of us find this so difficult, especially now, if you're in a house full of people who can't get out. But it's also a battle for those of us whose minds seem to race faster and faster when we try and create space and time from Jesus. It's what the enemy least wants us to do. Don't give up. Run to the tomb in search of Jesus. Make that time. And I think the third component that is a challenge for us that we have to work at is to gather together with the church family, wherever that is for you. Whether it's in a small group, which sometimes seem intense and in your face, and when it's in big groups, which are sometimes hard to negotiate. See, the miracle in this is that when we meet the risen Jesus Christ in each other, that's what happens. Is that as we meet each other, as we do life together, as we share what God is saying to each other, as we work with each other, we meet the risen Jesus Christ in each other. So take that risk. Run to the tomb in search of Jesus. Gather with your brothers and sisters. That's the first thing, running to the tomb. The second, quicker, is the tomb, when we get there, is empty. That's the magnificent thing about when we face into the trouble whilst looking for Jesus, things turn out differently. The women went to face their pain and expected to succumb, frankly, to a deathly ending. But Jesus wasn't there. He wasn't there in trouble. He wasn't there beaten up or bound or dead. No, Jesus has defeated the enemy, has broken the chains of lockdown, has transformed that which was dead and deathly into glorious, everlasting life. So as we run to Jesus, we find that the tomb of our trouble is empty. Its power is gone. Our Lord reigns supreme. He lives, and our trouble is defeated. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And then the third thing that we find, we run to the tomb, we find the tomb is empty, and the third thing that we find is that Jesus comes to us. As the sun rose over Jerusalem at Sunday morning, the truth dawned slowly on those awestruck women. Like them, we don't always get it. But we still have our feet on this earth, and we still have to turn to face the day. But something tremendous has happened and changes everything. Whilst we're still full of questions and uncertainties, Jesus comes to us in unexpected ways, not passive and powerless, but active, risen, conquering Jesus comes to us. Yes, he does. You notice in that scripture about how he knows the women. He knows you, calls you by name. We may go on our knees before the cross and the tomb, but Jesus lifts us up and he says, do not be afraid. He says, I know you're dealing with trouble. I know it's hard. I have the power to save you. Look at my wounds. Trust me. I have overcome all the sin and death in this world. And I'm here for you. Let me wrap up. In John is one of the other disciples of Jesus who wrote a biography. And in his version, he adds a couple of phrases about how when Jesus turns up and meets the disciples, he says to them, peace be with you. And then he says it again, peace be with you. And he breathes his Holy Spirit on the troubled and terrified disciples. So in our trouble, we turn to Jesus and we run to the tomb. To our amazement, we find that Jesus has risen from the dead and the tomb is empty. And in deep relief and gratitude, we hear Jesus coming to us saying, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. May peace be with you this Easter. I want to pray into that a little with you. And while we were praying and preparing for this reading, Alison, do you want to come and join me? While we were praying and preparing for this time together, one of our pastors, Liz Harden, shared a word that she had for us, which was of the Lord coming to us and taking our garment, taking our clothes, dirty clothes off. And it's somewhat linked to the PPE thing with COVID, with we see people wearing overalls and aprons and protective garments, and it covers up who they really are, protects them in a way. And Jesus is removing, in her picture, was removing grave clothes off people, stripping off a troubled, broken identity, giving new life, setting people free. I think that could be you, certainly is me. So I want to pray into that with you. So if you would receive that and come to him with your the brokenness and the trouble that's in your life, whether it's sins that you're aware of or grief that you're processing, whatever it is, let's bring it to him. Maybe this is the first time that you've ever come to Jesus. It could be the best thing you've ever done. Pray with me. I'll pray slowly so that you can repeat it to yourself as I'm praying. Lord, I bring my trouble to you, my sickness, my grief, my anxiety, my sin, my old clothes. I choose to come to you, to your tomb, the place of your pain and your power. And I thank you that you have power over my trouble, that you have forgiveness for my sins and the things I've done wrong. I am truly sorry for my sins, and I surrender unconditionally to your love. I hear your voice saying, do not be afraid. And I receive your forgiveness. Why don't you repeat that after me? I receive your forgiveness. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your peace. I receive your Holy Spirit. And I commit to living for you for the rest of my life. Amen.